Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. How are you guys today?
We are delightful as well. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. You know who else is delightful, Corey? Trevor Lawrence.
No.
Gets paid a ton of money last Thursday night.
To do absolutely nothing. It's amazing.
Oh, here we go. So what do you by that answer, I would assume you're not a big fan of the Trevor Lawrence contract. What did you make of the deal?
Well, look, I understand that they need to hang on to him. I do. And I understand how the game is played. But I don't think I could have played that game that just because you're next, you get the money. I mean, you should have to do something to earn the money. All right. The guy's been a mediocre quarterback since he's been in the league. No matter how much anybody wants to put him in that elite category, he has not done a darn thing to put himself in that elite category. Yes, he had a tough first year because he had an infant for a head coach, and that, you know, probably held him back. But he was not good last year down the stretch when they needed him to be. And, you know, he's led the league in fumbles and, you know, turns the ball over. I think he's got 59 touchdown passes in 3 years, you know. And I brought up on Twitter that he is not even averaging 20 a year. And somebody said, well, his first year he only had, you know, 12 or whatever. Well, you know, even if you go to the last 2 years and he averaged, like, say, 23, is 23 touchdowns a year enough? I mean, no, it's not. It's not. Like I said, I understand they need to hang on to him, but if he would have told me he wanted $55 million, I would have said, well, then we'll negotiate next year when you show me you can actually earn that $55 million, because I'm not giving it to you. I mean, and maybe that gets me fired. I don't know. but I just – at some point you've got to look, players aren't the player you pay them to be. They're the player they are. And the player he is at this point is not a $55 million quarterback.
Okay, but if you are a competent quarterback in the NFL and you're up, you're going to get $50 million plus, right? I mean that's the reality.
Well, I mean, is Daniel Jones a competent quarterback in the NFL?
Nah, probably not. I mean,
he got what? He got $45 million
in that ballpark. Yep.
Yeah. Now,
yes. So you have to be that average and underwhelming to not hit the 50 mark.
Yeah. Well, no, I mean, but that 45 was right up there at the time. Because he was up. He was up and
right.
He got it.
Sure,
and
sure.
I think Trevor's better than he is. I do. And I understand what you're saying, that you're up. But, I mean, we're not talking about, you know, $20 million. We're talking about $55 million. And I, you know, there's some old man get off my lawn stuff here, and I have to understand that the numbers have changed, and that's all they are, is numbers. All right, you know, I get caught up in the money of it, and going, good Lord, $55 million a year. I mean, that's just astronomical sum of money. But you know, it's really just monopoly money that, you know, teams play with, you know, in putting their roster together. So, you know, I got to get off my high horse somewhere in there. But at the same time, you know, whether or not you think the cap is real, you know, there is a cap, and, you know, that's going to dramatically affect the way the Jaguars do business because of the numbers there. And so, look, to me, there's a ton of pressure on the kid because everybody's, you know, looking at him now as the $55 million man. I mean, he's making the same money as guys who've been to the Super Bowl and done it and put up huge numbers, you know, and he's done none of those things. And now he has to, or people are, and nobody's going to laugh at him because he's got $55 million a year, but people are going to laugh at his team for giving it to him if he doesn't do it.
So Corey, to that point, whether it's the Lawrence deal or you know, Love's contract is coming up, Tua, Dak, I mean, there's a bunch of guys that are now in line to get paid. By the time Levis is ready to get paid, I mean, quarterbacks are going to be making $60 plus million per season.
Well, that's what Dak wants right now.
Exactly. So with that in the background, how important does that make this year for the Titans in terms of determining what he is, with the opportunity potentially after that, if he is good, to load up in the next 2 years before you have to pay him that money?
But no, it's hugely important, especially considering it's a second-round pick and not a first-round pick. You don't have a player option, you know, that fifth year. So your clock is accelerated. So, yeah, it's absolutely important. And also, to me, if he shows you he's the guy this year, you probably want to extend him now because it's only going to get more expensive. You know, the smart teams figure out who their guys are early and get them extended early and save themselves some money. You know, other teams hem and haw and wait, and all of a sudden Dak Prescott wants $60 million a year. And look, I'm gonna hit these guys with what I hit the CEOs with now. What difference does it make in your life if you make $60 million or $50 million? Not a darn thing. There's no difference in your life whatsoever.
I'd like to find
out.
But
I know But I know all it's about is saying you're worth it and saying I'm as good as this guy and all that. I mean, I understand that. But, you know, there's greed everywhere in this world, and you know, you get what you're worth, I guess. You know, I guess Trevor Lawrence is worth $55 million a year because somebody was willing to give it to him. Do you think other teams, like say the Pittsburgh Steelers, had a chance to land Trevor Lawrence in free agency or in a trade and sign? Do you think that Pittsburgh would have been willing to give him $55 million a year? Or they wouldn't be willing to take that chance?
55? I don't know about 55. But I think it would have been – I think they would have approached 50. I mean, just – to me, it's what the cost of doing business is at quarterback. I think the age is a factor, too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I guess part of it for me is the Jaguars are more tied to him because they drafted him.
Exactly.
And they've invested this first overall pick, and they don't want to have to pick again. And I think that, you know, he's got them a little bit more than a team who wants to sign him. Because, like I said, I don't know them free agency. I don't, and it only takes one. But I don't know somebody's approaching me at $55 million in free agency for what he's done. That there's somebody who's willing to say, "Yep, we think he's that guy. $55 million, let's do it."
You know, a couple things, Corey. One, you know, I was in the Hamptons this last weekend, and at the $50 to $60 million, like that, $10 million should be like an extra little, like, you know, pool house or guest. I mean, you know, it just depends on where you are. Of course.
Did you have lobster with Kramer? And
I did have some lobster rolls.
Nice.
Did not see Kramer, but seriously, obviously, that's so much of it is just like you just want to be valued, right? Like you just like I should not be paid less than that guy, right?
Yeah, but he should be paid less than Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow and Josh Allen. He absolutely should be paid less than those guys.
Yeah, of course, he also sees Jared Goff getting 53. But
Jared
you know,
Goff's
I
better
do,
than he is.
Yeah. I would say that you asked the Steelers question. I'll ask you a hypothetical, but I do believe the Steelers would take him at that money over the situation they have this year if they had the choice. Well, I do. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah,
Maybe.
I mean, I think Russell Wilson speaks to their desperation at the position.
But let me ask you this. If you were the Jaguars and you have this situation, or you can say, okay, or he's out and you enjoy the contract benefits, you can take either a Levis or a Richardson instead and just swap them in. What are you doing?
I'm going to take Levis or Richardson at their contract situation and swap them in.
Okay.
So you're a Trevor Lawrence hater is really what we've established today.
No, I'm not a hater, but I don't think he's elite. And, I mean, you know, look at last year. You know, he had a chance to take that team to the playoffs, and they collapsed. And he had Calvin Ridley, and he had Christian Kirk, and he had Evan Ingram, and he had Travis Etienne. I mean, he had all those guys, all right? And he couldn't push his team across the finish line. Had a great second half against the Chargers in the playoffs 2 years ago. All right, congratulations. But, I mean, I think I was talking to Jared about this, and I think he put it pretty well. There's a minute left in the game, and you've got to kick off to Trevor Lawrence, you know, up by three. Are you scared?
Probably not.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. And I thought, you know, say what you want about Jared. That was a really good point. And he's absolutely right, because I said the same thing. I said, oh, I feel pretty – my defense is confident. I'm pretty good. I think we got a good chance to get out of this thing.
Corey, last thing for you here. T. Higgins signs his franchise tender over the weekend, which I believe is $21.8 million. So, obviously, lots of discussion earlier in the offseason prior to the Titans signing Ridley and Boyd about the Higgins part of this. We'll see. Still kind of feels like he's going to be a free agent next year, but we'll see what happens on that point.
Yeah.
If he is healthy, Burrow is healthy, Chase is healthy, and you know that all year heading into this season, where is Cincinnati fit in the AFC in your mind?
Well, probably second in the AFC North, you know, with the Ravens.
Okay.
So they're probably a wild card with a chance, you know, in any game that they play.
Okay. But are they ahead of Houston, ahead of Buffalo?
You know, there are elements of Houston that I like better.
Okay.
You know, on their offensive line, but Houston also only has done it for 1 year. So we'll see how Houston does it on a first place schedule and, you know, repeating it this year. You know, I mean, I feel like the quarterback there is going to be good, and that they should be good. And I have injury concerns for Burrow. He takes too many hits. In Buffalo, you know, Buffalo was weird last year. They took, you know, they were kind of all over the place.
They were.
And
now no
so
Diggs.
Who did they add at receiver? I know they added. I can't remember who.
I don't think they added anybody that notable, but I'll go back and check.
No. Okay. So I think, you know, they're kind of like the Jets this year, where you're just like wondering what you're going to get. And, you know, because I think Allen's got some questions to answer, because he was up and down last year, and he's got to be more consistent than he was last year. And I think that was one of the great things for Stroud, is, you know, he was on such a nice trajectory, you know, through the whole season long. And so we'll see if he can do that again. But, you know, you've only got to get there. You only got to get in the playoffs. You know, we've seen it before. I mean, I think when the Bengals made the Super Bowl the first time with Burrow, that was the year they came to Nashville and won, right?
Yep.
Yeah, and so the Titans were the one seed that year, which would have made them not the one seed. So so you just got to get there. I know the Steelers got there as like a six. And, you know, it's been done. And when you've got the quarterback and the weapons, you know, you just gotta have a chance, and that team's done really well against the Chiefs. I think Burrow's 3-1 against Mahomes.
Here's your current Buffalo Bills wide receiver depth chart. You ready?
Yeah.
Curtis Samuel, Marquez Valdez Scantling, Keon Coleman, who they drafted, and Chase Claypool, your boy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Keon Coleman was the addition. Yeah.
He's got to be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Scantling is just a dude. I mean, not a dude. I mean, he's just a rando, just a random guy. I mean, there's nothing special about him. So he doesn't have the weapons that he's had in the past. They got a young guy there, though, who started to step up, though, last
Shakir.
Year. Again.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think they've got some belief in some of the pieces that are there. With the Bengals, though, too, I mean, they've lost Cheeto and Jesse Bates in the last 2 years. That's been two big hits to their secondary. So we'll see how their secondary can perform, you know, minus two really good players now this year as well.
Corey Curtis joins us every Monday morning at 8 o'clock here on the program. Corey, great stuff. Thanks for taking time to be with us, and we will talk to you next week.
All right. I look forward to the hateful tweets that are sure to come my way from Angry Jaguar.
Oh, yeah. Duval is going to be very upset with you today.
Yeah. Get him, Todd, Jacksonville.
All 18 Jaguar fans.
Oh, double down on that, boy. Yeah, get in there. There we go.
Look, I just look forward to the London road trips when they finally get it over with.
That's right. Thank you. Thank you. All right, Corey, thank you.
Bye.
Oh, that was a pretty good close there to successfully anger, I think, every Jacksonville fan on the planet. That entire segment from Corey Curtis will anger every Jacksonville fan on the planet.
Yeah, that we need to get that. We need to get that cycling down there.
We really do.
On their shows, yeah.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll react to what Corey had to say coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game.
To do absolutely nothing. It's amazing.
Oh, here we go. So what do you – by that answer, I would assume you're not a big fan of the Trevor Lawrence contract. What did you make of the deal?
Well, look, I understand that they need to hang on to him. I do. And I understand how the game is played. But I don't think I could have played that game that just because you're next, you get the money. I mean, you should have to do something to earn the money, all right? The guy's been a mediocre quarterback since he's been in the league. No matter how much anybody wants to put him in that elite category, he has not done a darn thing to put himself in that elite category.
That's Corey Curtis with us in the last segment. Joe Rexroad. Corey, not a fan of the Trevor Lawrence deal that Jacksonville has signed at $55 million per season. Your thoughts on Corey's thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I might be a little tough on Trevor there. Might be a little tough on Trev. But I think it's a really interesting topic. And he hasn't been consistently mediocre, right? He's had the disaster rookie season that most of that was not of his doing. Then he had a really promising second year of growth that, to me, by the end of that year, you know, I know some people were skeptical of the Jags being like a contender last year, but I certainly bought into Trevor Lawrence after year two. And then last year was a disappointing setback. So, you know how it is with guys like this, especially around like in that city, I'm sure it's every excuse you can make for him, right? At some point he does have to step up and perform. You know, on my personal text line, someone brought up the point, and you think back to like Kirk Cousins, right? Kirk Cousins gets tagged twice. Now, this is a different era of the NFL. That was 10 years ago. Yep. But they did. They tagged him twice. They weren't sure. And eventually they let him go. And if you're that franchise, I mean, they had so much other crap going on. But like how would things be different had they – recognize that yes, you should be paying this guy to be your quarterback long term, you know? So the Jags could, you know, do that. Like, you know, obviously you got that, you have the fifth year option, all that stuff. So they didn't have to do this now,
right?
You know, no, but I do believe, I really, but first of all, there's just so much information that obviously they have internally. So if all the things that you're looking for from the guy in the building are there, that does matter. That does make a difference. It has to. Of course, it's what you do on Sundays, especially if it's later in the afternoon, apparently. But evening, oh, my, that really matters. But
late nights in Duval, at pool's flowing, ready to go. You can throw that ball a mile.
The pool is so milky by 11 p.m. I mean, if you can. I think that sometimes, like with him, maybe it is also like a show of confidence, right? It's like, we believe in you. Let's do this. You also get out in front of things, because if you do this stuff and you tag and you wait, okay, well now it's how about 65 a year or whatever? Like, how about 62 a year? But I feel like this is some show of, we believe in you fully, Trevor. Let's just do this now. Let's get this done and we're going forward. And yeah, we'll see if it works out. I'm definitely higher on him than Corey Curtis. I promise you that. But I mean, I don't know. It comes down to it. Any team paying numbers like this to a quarterback has to expect that quarterback to get them to a Super Bowl, even if they're not. And most of these guys aren't the kind of quarterback that can put a team on their back. There's a, you know, couple guys like that in this league.
So let me ask you.
He's not one of them, but I do think he's good.
So $55 million per season, as we know, that's the – I mean, if you're getting a new deal now, that's what it's going to be. So you feel more confident paying that to Trevor or Tua? Trevor Lawrence or Tua?
Trevor.
Trevor Lawrence or Jordan Love?
Oh, man.
Long pause.
That's a really tough one, because he was so good. Like from Thanksgiving on,
yeah,
you know, remember watching that Thanksgiving game and just being like, oh my gosh. Well, first of all, laughing at the Lions, but also, oh my gosh. I guess, I guess I'd pick Jordan Love, but like
it's close.
Yeah, it's very close. That's a really hard one. It's pretty quick. I would go Trevor over Tua. Look, I think Tua is good. He has benefited from what's around him, and the biggest thing for me with Tua, I couldn't care less if it's moonlight or sunlight that's around when he's playing football. But the biggest thing with Tua is just his health. I mean, like some of the biggest games you play in a given season against division rivals, things like that, kick off at noon Central time.
Trevor Lawrence or Dak?
Trevor.
Okay. So you're a big Trevor Lawrence guy. That's what we learned.
Well,
part of it is the age too, right? Though, like he's only 24. I think, you know, he's been in the league for a minute now. It feels like he's like 28. He's not. He's 24.
Like, I wipe away his rookie season. I really do. Again, like, Jordan Love would have been horrible if he played as a rookie. He was horrible in year two when he had to play some, right?
Yep.
Like, I wipe that out. I don't think that year two of Trevor Lawrence was just smoke and mirrors and BS. Last year, I don't know. I think, look, maybe we did just see that he's actually turning into a pumpkin at midnight, but I don't think so. I think there were injuries and there were other things going on, and I still think that what we've seen, and yeah, I'm counting like him in college too. Like, I just think he's got everything you need to be a great quarterback. So I think he'll be good to very good, and you pay good to very good.
Tyler on the text line says, Trevor Lawrence or Sam Darnold, who you taking? No, Jared would take. Give me Sam Darnold.
I guess I haven't heard the explanation on that. Why?
He likes Sam Darnold more than Tua. So I assume he likes him more than Trevor. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he likes like Sam the Butcher from Brady Bunch better than Tua.
615-737-1025, our phone number. The Vols have won two games in Omaha and are on the precipice of punching their ticket to the College World Series final. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. We are taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. I got some tickets to give away, a four-pack of tickets to see the Nashville Sounds take on Durham this Thursday at First Horizon Park. Be caller 5, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a four-pack of tickets to see the Sounds take on Durham this Thursday at First Horizon Park. People on the text line, Joe, not very happy with your Trevor Lawrence over Dak take. Getting ripped apart on the text line.
Yeah. You know what? I probably answered that one too quickly. It is really close. It is really close. I mean, age matters, though. You know, age does matter to me. And so that's part of why I went Dak. But, I mean, I get it. I mean, look, Dak has absolutely had much more and a higher level of success in this league, okay, compared to Trevor. But this is projecting ahead. So, you know, that's part of why I did it. Coy in Clarksville says, do you believe he's getting paid from his accomplishments at Clemson? No. No, I'm just – like, when I brought up Clemson, I'm just saying that is part of – as I look at him, I just hard for me to believe, and I know those teams were ridiculously loaded. But that is part of – when I look at him, and I still believe, like, I think that guy, the NFL version, is in there, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback in this league for a long time.
You know, the game I like to play, kind of that started with Tom Brady, as I was randomly looking on Pro Football Reference one day and saw that one of his listed nicknames was the Pharaoh, which was awesome. Right. Who has the better nickname, Trevor Lawrence with the Prince Who Was Promised or Dak Prescott, the Fortress? Have you ever heard a single person call Dak Prescott the Fortress?
The Fortress? What does that mean?
I have no idea, but go look at it. Pro Football Reference. The nickname that is listed for Dak Prescott is, quote, the Fortress. Never in my life have I heard this.
If there's a Cowboy fan out there listening, please explain that. That makes no sense. That's a building. And the prince who was promised, I mean, I've never heard anybody say that either about Trevor Lawrence, but no. It is hilarious because he looks exactly like the character from Shrek 2.
He does. He does.
Yes.
Joe, the Tennessee Volunteers 2-0 in Omaha. A dramatic come-from-behind win on Friday against Florida State, winning 12-11 in a very high-scoring game. And then yesterday, the Vols win 6-1 against North Carolina. So back-to-back wins for Tennessee. They are one win away from the College World Series final. They will take on the winner of Florida State and North Carolina coming up on Wednesday. So Tennessee right on the verge of history, making the College World Series final for the first time. They obviously have had limited success in Omaha as a program. Now two wins in a row here to start out this campaign. What have you made of what you've seen from Tennessee through the first two games, and now the opportunity that is in front of them, having won those two games, to punch their ticket to the College World Series finals?
It's just, they're in great shape. That comeback, yeah, of course, changes everything. You think about the difference in going immediately to the loser's bracket and all the games that you'd have to play to get to Saturday, the final series, all the pitching. And they do have depth of pitching, but still, you know, there's some guys that they lean on. I mean, look, Snead, I think, has pitched like 5-plus innings in two games, right? You know, Snead, Combs, you know, those are the guys that they want in the high leverage situation. So you can rest everybody. Then you get a great performance from Beam last night. It's just that comeback is, and I understand, you know, Florida State fans, check swing and all that stuff. It was close, but incredible job by the Vols to come back, change everything, and now just sitting in a really good position. Not that, I mean, look, Florida State and North Carolina, I think both have enough talent, enough offense to beat the Vols in two games, which is what they're going to have to do. They're going to have to beat the Vols on Wednesday. They're going to have to beat the Vols on Thursday if they do win on Wednesday.
And they're playing Tuesday, by the way, too. So they'll have to have done it playing 3 days in a row.
Exactly. So those teams now have to burn pitching to in the elimination game tomorrow, and then they've got to go in and deal with it. Just, you know, and that's where if they keep this going, if they finish this, it's just a great reminder. I mean, obviously, if you can have dominant pitching like LSU did last year when they had Paul Skenes, yes, you want that, of course. Vanderbilt, Kumar Rocker turned that series around against Michigan, won the second game, and they come back and they win the championship. But when you have a lineup like Tennessee has, it just, especially the top six, is just exhausting. And then they see a pitcher one time through, two times through. It's just a hard team to kill, you know? So I think that the Florida State comeback, two out rally, that's could be the defining moment of, you know, really of this season, the Tony Vitello tenure, the program history.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you don't want to assume anything, but they are going to be facing a team Wednesday that already is strained in terms of pitching, and you know, and they're going to be fresh. That, you know, Drew Beam now is he's put aside until what they hope will be the championship series, but everybody else is available, and then they'll get two. If they win Wednesday, then you get two more days of rest before you have to play again. It's just that's why the stat we cited earlier, Ben McKee tweeted out last night, 27 of 33 of the past 33 champs have done the 2-0 thing to start out in Omaha.
Yep. It's a good track that Tennessee is on. Drew Beam yesterday, by the way, 5 innings, 7 strikeouts, came up big for Tennessee when they needed him the most. A big-time performance for him, again, in the North Carolina game. In the Florida State game, you talked about it, Christian Moore hitting for the cycle. I mean, it was just ridiculous stuff that he was able to do. And it puts Tony Vitello and this program in a really good spot. Obviously, you know, we talked about the Vitello part of this earlier in terms of if they're able to pull this off and win a national title, how he's viewed in Tennessee lore. He's clearly, I think, the best baseball coach they've ever had already. But you factor in the recruiting class that he's put together and now the opportunity that's in front of this team. And as you pointed out, I mean, this is going to be a pretty different-looking team next year, and it's going to be hard to replicate what this group has done here. But, you know, there was the question from some heading into this about, well, Tony Vitello has been really, really good. Obviously, Tennessee in the regular season has been outstanding for the last 4 years. Not much success in Omaha. They've won one game. And now they've won two in a row to begin this thing. They're on the verge of punching their ticket in the College World Series finals. So if there were some doubts, Joe, about Vitello and his ability to get his team to perform at their best level in Omaha, he is starting to erase those doubts as we speak.
Yes. Very successful, I would say. I would say he's a very successful coach. Very successful season. Yes.
I wish him luck in Tulum whenever he ends up there.
And whenever, you know, if they finish the deal, then the rivalry discourse, because we love rivalry discourse, will be, well, he hasn't won two, though.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Call me when you've won two national championships. Yes, he's on his way here to blowing up all remaining knocks against him. So we'll see if they can finish it. You still have to, you know, it's going to be Seacrest last game was incredible. And there's a dude who, by the way, has never pitched in Omaha.
Yep.
And he is unaffected. Like, you know, Kirby Cannell, everybody loves him. And those two are like best friends and they're both gone after this year too. And those guys aren't really, you know, MLB prospects, but they're really good. They've been really good pitchers. They've been really great, you know, members of the clubhouse, of the team, of the culture. Seacrest seems just totally unaffected by things. So if you get another performance like he gave you last time, now you're really in good shape. But if not, you have all your bullpen arms. You can rest here for a couple days, and we'll find out about Hunter Ensley too. That's a big deal. And by the way, he was only number 10 on the ESPN top 10 list.
Who's making this list? That's what I want to know.
There was one ahead of them. It was like this pickleball play that I guess was okay. I mean, yeah, man.
We don't get enough pickleball, that's for sure.
I mean, I like seeing throw a little pickleball in there. Don't get me wrong, okay? But it was like, okay, that was good. Good shot. Yeah. The price he paid for that play, he should be at least top three.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on the Vols in Omaha, your thoughts on the quarterback discussion we've had all show long. Any way you want to take it on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. That's coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Monday morning. Joe Dennis on the text line says, it's amazing how a bad call from the umps can change the perception of a coach. People are very upset about the swing the other night between Florida State and Tennessee. What do you make of that one?
Yeah, I saw Wes Rucker's tweet last night too, and he got one similar, you know, called a strike, and he's like, I'm sure this, like a North Carolina person probably punched a hole in the wall or something. Yeah, it was close. I mean, it was really close. I don't think it was, oh my God, that's a full swing. And, you know, how could you, you know, I've seen umps miss that. I think he might've gone. I guess if I had to make that call in the moment, it's probably a swing, but it's really close. And, you know, so they got saved and they had the incredible comeback. And yeah, hey, I mean, if they win it, then you're right. That people will talk about that. Obviously talk about the inning and the comeback, but certainly that was part of it. And that is a perception changer. And the thing is, as any coach who wins any championship will tell you, like, there are points, there are things along the way. We got lucky there. We got lucky there. You know, you need the luck of being healthy and so on and so forth. So there's a lot more to it, but if you hate Vitello and the Vols, then you can focus on that.
Well, apparently, you know, certainly 2 years ago, right, this team from a national perspective, more likable, right? There's not many F-bombs flying around, no visible shouting matches with the umpires on most occasions, so it's a different Tennessee team. But how much do you think that persona still kind of exists with Vitello himself? When it comes to the national perspective, if you're not, I mean, we know how much Tennessee fans love him. How do you think people nationally view Vitello?
Well, I think, you know, it's like other SEC fan bases, I'm sure, hate him. I know Vanderbilt fans do, but, you know, you see that from other fan bases at times too. And he still has that,
I mean, I think Vitale and Frank Anderson, and this is I have no idea if I'm right or not, but I would feel okay betting at least a small sum of money that, like, there's no two more intense baseball coaches in college baseball in a dugout when it comes to, like if you ever go to a Tennessee game and it's like any call there, like they are all over the umps, right? Like, they are intense. So, like, that's part of it. And obviously Vitello just has this, he's like this renegade dude, right? I mean, yeah. But which is funny, because really when he talks, he's really not. He's just, I don't even know how to explain him, but just listen to the, if you haven't listened to the whole thing.
Tony, your thoughts on Noah Webster.
I mean, but I think that's also what endears him to his own fans. But it's pretty obvious, right? Like, that you bring it up at 22, that yes, Vitello, there's some of that is taking on his personality, but this team here isn't like that and is actually a really funny team, and that's also his personality. I mean, that team was driven by, in particular, Drew Gilbert and Jordan Beck, and those dudes are dudes who will flip you off while running the bases and will get thrown out of a NCAA tournament game for F-bombing an ump, you know? That's just, I mean, Drew Gilbert came to Vanderbilt and they swept the series, and he said, I remember we were interviewing him in the outfit, and he's like, yeah, God, I wish I remember the exact quote, but he's like, yeah, you cut somebody's throat and they stop talking or something like that. Like, dude, easy. You know, like, that's just who they were. And it worked for him until it didn't, and I don't blame that or them for it, but I do feel like there's a lot less just general, like, discord and anger around Tennessee from other, right? Because they're just like a normal baseball team now.
Robert in Nashville says, it's not really the call, it's how Tennessee fans reacted. We've all seen them littering the field after a bad call, but when it goes their way, they're like, well, just part of the game. The worst fan base in college sports. This is from Robert in Nashville on the text line.
So again, that's fine, but like, that is what fans do, right? I mean, yes. It's always like, the other team's cheating. Oh, our coach does it the right way. And it's always, you know, we got hosed. There's a conspiracy against us. But
Alabama football doesn't get the calls. Everybody picked Georgia to go 7-5. It all happens.
Sure, exactly. Now, to Tennessee fans, it is one of the biggest and wildest fan bases in all of, forget college sports, just in all of sports. So, you know, I if you hate them, then yes, when something like this is going on, you're really gonna hate them.
There's no doubt. I mean,
the insufferability of Tennessee fans if they close this deal. Ooh, baby. Robbie is not really one of them, but maybe even you will step out and talk some major trash,
some
to ball
Twitter trash
at all.
Maybe so.
Damn. Look,
I am heavily bought in to Tennessee fan, Vanderbilt fan baseball discourse on social media. It's been highly entertaining for me. And if Tennessee wins the national title, it's going to take it to a different level. You're going to have Vanderbilt fans screaming about call me when you get to, and Tennessee fans screaming about how they hijacked their sport. It's going to be good stuff.
Yes. I mean, my favorite still was a Tennessee fan saying, I want us to start a bowling program so bad so we can kick their butt in that too. No, it's going to be something else if they finish off. By the way, I am, of course, looking at the other side of the bracket, Kentucky with a dramatic win of their own. What a, my goodness, Tennessee, Kentucky. And the thing is, you know, if you're like LSU or Florida fan or whatever, you know, then that's the two new money teams. That's like Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack against Rodney Dangerfield from Caddyshack,
yeah,
right?
It is.
Oh, man. I mean, I am absolutely here for that. It'd be cool to see Michelle.
It would. Dylan on the text line says, going back to the Dak Prescott, the Fortress nickname, says the Fortress makes sense for Dak. A Fortress is a strong or sturdy cold meant to guard or protect.
Stronghold.
Stronghold. So, typo there, sorry. Stronghold meant to guard or protect something, specifically a town. Dak Prescott doing his best to protect Dallas from a Super Bowl. Ouch.
Eat that call, Lewis!
Ouch.
Oh, my goodness. By the way, who asked me? Oh, yeah, Dwight asked me, Trevor Lawrence or Dan Fouts.
Oh, we know that answer.
Obviously, Fouts. Jeez. We got some more Vols fan base hater text people, man. Here we go. Jackson says, amen, Robert. Vols fans are the worst in sports. Such whiny crybabies who always think they're way better than they are, entitled based on absolutely nothing.
There we go.
Now, I need to know, Jackson and Robert, you're fans of who?
Yeah, I'd love to know. It's not.
I have a guess.
It could be Vandy.
I have a guess.
But it's not always.
Not necessarily. It's not necessarily. Alabama fans say the same thing. Yeah.
Tennessee fans, look, they rub people the wrong way. I don't think there's any doubt about that. The Vol Twitter can be a special place. And it was. I saw some little bit of premature tweeting from some Vanderbilt fans on Friday night. And then Vol Twitter got a hold of some of those tweets.
Is that right?
My goodness. It got a little rough.
Yeah, I missed that. I was at a rehearsal dinner. I missed all that. I was trying to watching the game at a rehearsal dinner, but I didn't really get into the whole. I'll have to go back and find some of that.
Oh yeah, I can send you some. It was it was pretty special.
Nice.
Going to be interesting to see how they finish, if they could finish the job here. Tennessee on Wednesday will take on the winner of Florida State and North Carolina. If they win that game, they will have the opportunity to play in the College World Series final. If they lose on Wednesday, they'll have another opportunity on Thursday to punch their ticket again to the College World Series final. So Tennessee in good shape in Omaha after winning both games over the weekend. Joseph, we'll see you in a couple days here. Thanks for being back with us today.
Okay, remember, if you thought I was a boomer today, it's about to get real boomery around there.
Yes, it is, no doubt about it. That does it for us today. Chase and Big Joe up next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.